In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to be preparing the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first section is going to be a continuation of what I've been doing the last three or four of these. That is, looking at this issue of faith and reason. I'm going to look at it in another direction this time. And I'm going to be sort of commenting, reading from and commenting on an article that I wrote that's published. It's called Revelation as Disclosure. And I'll be commenting on that. It's based a lot on the letter to the Romans, which we've already seen in another direction. All right. The thesis that Paul has in this section is a development of an insight or a thesis that's already in the Old Testament, that idolatry leads to great immorality in many areas, but particularly idolatry and sexual aberration. And that's in Wisdom, Book of Wisdom, chapters 13 and 14, and it's elsewhere as well. It's even in the letter to the Ephesians in another way, as I hope to point out. So, I just want to show you, I'm going to be basing myself on the letter to the Romans. And we'll be doing other things as well. Now, Paul, as he begins the letter to the Romans, it's very interesting. He doesn't do this in any other letter. But now he's addressing this double community in Rome, as we saw when we were looking at that before. There are Jews who have become Christians and pagans who have become Christians. And they come from very different backgrounds. And they have a difficult time understanding one another and getting along with one another. The Jews have been living, with the exceptions that due to human weakness, a very strict sexual life. You marry one woman, you can have another wife. By that this time, that's rare. And there's absolutely no thought of abortion. In fact, Tacitus, the famous historian, says, I think it's in Book 5, of his History of the Romans, that the Jews are the enemies of mankind because they will not expose their children. Most abortion in those days took place because it was so hard for the woman to kill the child in her womb. One way was to take enough poison to kill the child, but not enough to kill the woman. But that varied from woman to woman, and so some women died as well as the child. And so forth. So the other way was that the woman gave birth and the child was put on the floor. And if the man picked it up, called tollere puerum, pick up the child, it lived. If he didn't, it was put in the gutter outside and died. Unless people who roamed the city all the time were looking in the gutters for these newborns, and if they're still alive, they took them and they brought them up, and they made them slaves and prostitutes. You see, so that's what the exposing is of the children. And as Tacitus says, the Jews didn't do that. So there's one set of moral life there, and there's another set over in the pagan world. And there were other things as well. So Paul is writing mostly to talk about justification and faith, so that our righteousness comes through faith, not through works. That's for the Jews. However, there is a righteousness, And it is the energy by which we live a life in conformity with the will of God. And that's what he's talking about. But he starts, the part I want to look at now, for what we're doing, because now what we're doing is looking at modern life. And where we will see the same law, the suppression of the knowledge of God, brings about ultimate chaos, sexual and otherwise. And so he starts, you see, in this section, starting with verse 18 of chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all the ungodliness and injustice of men who in injustice suppress the truth. That is the key. Suppress the truth. Not let the mind follow its own nature to an explanation. Suppress it. Now, there are many examples of this. There was a philosopher, rather recent, Wilhelm Dilthey, and he made a distinction in our functioning of our mind between explaining and understanding, erklären and verstehen. I'll try to give you an example. Water expands at 4 degrees centigrade. Isn't that remarkable? How do you explain that? Well, when you have the equipment, you can notice that only in water do the component molecules, hydrogen and oxygen, start to move apart at 4 degrees centigrade rather than closer together, as is the case with everything else. Therefore, it displaces more than its own weight, and it floats. That's the explanation. What's the understanding of it? You can work with that. You can make an ice factory. You can fill your Tom Collins. You can do what you want. You can put the explanation to work without understanding what's really all about. And that includes seeing this remarkable law about water, hydrogen, and oxygen that God put in the system so that all the fish would die. It's now you understand, you're looking more to the cause than to the function. Modern life is based on explanation. We understand how things work, and we make them work, all the way down to having babies in test tubes. But we don't explain it, you know. I mean, we don't understand it. Do you see the difference? So, what the ancient mind did here, you see, is the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all the ungodliness and injustice of men who in injustice suppress the truth. Just don't let the mind go there and suppress it. Suppress that instinct of the mind to try to understand. That's you know, the very opening line of Aristotle's Metaphysics is, all men by nature desire to know. It's the very first line. That's who we are. So that's unnatural to stop that movement to going, because if you start to move toward understanding and not just explanation, you're going to arrive at God. And it's fear of God and fear of his law, fear of having to obey his law, that dominates our whole culture. We operate on explanation, not understanding. And we can make atom bombs, we can fly to the moon, we can do marvelous things by explaining, but not understanding. And that's where we wind up with an atheist culture. That atheist culture, therefore, you see, blocking that instinct of the mind to go further results finally in an inability to relate to the other. And that plays out in sexuality. Inability to relate to the other sexually. And that's why the this inability, this or unwillingness, you see, and that becomes a culture. That's a culture. And so what happens is people who move on to explain or move on to obey the law of God are treated with great harshness, insulted, beat up, which is exactly what happened in the early church, right? The Christians were moving on, striving for understanding of the world, understanding of God's plan in Christ, you see? And that was a threat. So they were killed. See, the martyrs were killed because they worshipped one true God. And the charge against them was atheism. Atei. They were without gods. You see, it's all these forces in the universe, the good ones and the bad ones, and we keep them all happy. And the Jews and the Christians say, no way, there's only one God. And that's the one you have to keep happy. And you do that by obeying his word. And of course, that was the challenge. And so, you see, this the wrath of God is the outcome of that. God's not mad. It's the outworking of this suppression of the truth. It's very deep. And Paul, see, says this here, and I'm going to show you another document, another text in a few minutes, where you see the same thing happen again. In fact, I might do it right now. This is in the letter to the Ephesians, where Paul is urging the Ephesians not to walk as the pagans walk. And so I'm going to begin to read it, and then we'll take a break, and I'll go back and comment on it, okay? So this text goes, "This then I declare and solemnly attest in the Lord. You must no longer walk as the pagans walk." That's more of a Semitic phrase than a Greek phrase. What's halak, to walk, is to comport yourself. "You must no longer walk as the pagans walk in the empty futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them," not going on, you see? It's willed. But then it becomes a culture. And anybody who would move on is a threat. Okay. "Because of the ignorance that is in them, caused by the hardness of their heart. Such people, devoid of any moral sensitivity, have given themselves over to unrestrained self-indulgence, carrying out every sort of impurity with a lust for more. But as for you, it is not thus that you learned Christ." And he goes on. You see the same analysis, huh? Sexual irresponsibility, sexual profligacy happens because of the suppression of the truth. So, the Christians were, you see, very much feared. They were more powerful. There were more of them. And they were their neighbors. You know, if Mr. Rabinowitz down the street, the Jewish fellow, well, that's a Jew, you know. But if my next door neighbor who's second married my second cousin, they're going to start talking like this. That's a threat. So that's where the charge of atheism developed, and from that, the martyrdom. All right, we'll stop for that.